Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Chaim Schmidt from the Kosher Scene. You can see our blog at kosherscene.wordpress.com. Our guest this evening is none other than Bunny R. Giller, who is a registered dietitian, certified diabetes educator, and certified dietitian nutritionist. She operates a successful private practice in Long Island, New York, and she's committed to improving the health of individuals through positive lifestyle changes and healthier eating habits. She is also the author of two cookbooks, Recipes to Remember, Heart Healthy, Can Be Delicious, and Matzo and More. And lately, she has published a book called Passover, The Healthy Way. Good evening, Bunny.
Good evening, Chaim.
Let me ask you, how did you get into the business of nutrition? Of all things, of all professions that a nice Jewish girl could have followed, why a nutritionist? Or was it because of your Judaism?
Why a nutritionist? I'll tell you, when I first went to college, I didn't know what I wanted to do. So, I mean, I'll take you all the way back then. And I took the core requirements, and one semester I had an open slot in my schedule, and I said, I don't know what class to take. Let me just open the book of courses. During those days, we didn't register on the computer like the kids do it today. And I said, I'm just going to close my eyes and put my finger down on a course, and whatever the course is, if it fits the time slot that I have open, I'm taking it. And lo and behold, it was a class in the nutrition department. And I said, fine, I'm taking it. I took it, and I loved it. And I said, let me explore this major, see what else is in this department, what kind of courses. And so the next semester, I took several more courses, and eventually I decided to major in nutrition. It was wonderful. Well, that's how I got into the nutrition.
Have things changed in the nutrition field over the last 5 years? Meaning, are some of what was considered gospel truth 5, 6 years, 10 years ago, is it still considered gospel truth, or have things changed?
Well, nutrition is a changing science, so there's always going to be changes in the field. And a lot has changed. In my practice specifically, I focus on teaching people to live a healthy lifestyle. I try to provide the tools that they could use to change some of their behaviors that are impeding on their health and have them live a life free of dieting. You know, that word diet, I mean, when you think of diet, what do you think of? You think of, at least in my experience, deprivation. And while a lot of people come to see me in my practice for weight loss, I do a lot more than weight management. But when you talk about what you hear out in the media and in the news, there's lots of different diets, and everybody's looking for a quick fix. And so in regards to dieting, yes, a lot has changed. There's been lots of different diets over the years that have been promoted that people grab onto for the maybe this will be the miracle for me. So lots of things have changed.
As a rule, why do people fail at diets, or is it the diet that fails the people?
Ah, very good question, Chaim. Actually, the diet is failing the people. You know, I will introduce a concept to you called intuitive eating. I'll explain what that is in just a moment, but I'll tell you for most of the years of my practice, when I've never believed in diets, let me just say that. I've always believed in taking a look at your lifestyle, your eating behaviors, your habits, and let's see what could be changed so that you can shed the pounds and be healthy. Because what we do know is obesity increases risk of chronic diseases, starts in childhood, goes into adulthood.
True.
So in the beginning of my practice, individuals would come to me. I would always say, I don't give a diet, but let's see how you currently eat. Let's see what changes we can make. I would create a meal pattern to guide people on how to eat, but I always incorporated what I call behavior modification into the practice. modifying behaviors. And what did I see after all these years is when people, quote-unquote, I don't like to use this word, but quote-unquote, follow the meal plan or pattern I give them, they lose the weight, no problem. But if they don't follow through on trying to change the behavior and taking from our sessions and implementing it in real life, lo and behold, they will regain the weight. It became very frustrating as a healthcare practitioner and somebody who truly believes in what I do. And so I set out to see if there's another way. And what I came upon is this intuitive eating approach. And intuitive eating is eating characterized based on the physiological hunger and satiety cues that we have. So your true hunger, your true feelings of satiety, to know when to begin eating, when to stop eating, rather than eating based on situations. You are going to a wedding, or emotional. You are sad, lonely, bored, depressed. If you think about this concept, think about when a baby is born. And mom's feeding the baby. Baby pushes away, doesn't want anymore. Baby knows, I had enough to eat. So we are all born with this innate ability to eat when we're hungry and to stop when we're full. But what happens?
But somehow we lose it.
There you go. Exactly. It gets lost as we get older. And do you have any idea why it gets lost? Mainly because,
no.
I'll tell you, mainly because of the multi-billion-dollar diet business that's out there. The media exposure of the newest diet or celebrities writing diets or diet books or the food commercials. And I'll even say well-meaning parents. I mean, I'm certainly not, quote-unquote, blaming parents, but, you know, well-meaning parents that try to tell their kids, clean your plate if you want dessert. If you clean your room, you know, we'll go for ice cream or using food as a reward. And so people begin to move away from learning how to eat based on that inner ability that they were born with, that natural instinct, and they are eating because of so many other reasons. So when people go on different diets, the diet is yet another rule. They're not eating based on what their body is telling them. They're eating based on what this diet that they're holding in their hand is telling them to eat and when. And so, in actuality, it's the diet that fails people. But what happens?
The reason I,
Go ahead.
The reason I ask that question is because, according to what I eat, I should be a blimp. And frankly, I should be a blimp. Yes.
Okay.
I'm a restaurant critic. I go to a lot of restaurants. Now,
okay.
Let's face it, restaurant food is not always the healthiest. However,
true.
I do know when not to overindulge. I do know when to stop. And I do exercise regularly every day.
Right.
So I keep my weight down to normal.
Right. Well, that's exactly
And that's exactly why I asked whether it is the people who are failing or it is the diet who's failing. And you corroborated my suspicions that it was the diet that was wrong.
But,
or at
but
least
what
the
happens,
way people
yeah.
follow the diets.
Right, but what happens is people, the diets fail them, but people turn it inwardly, and they begin to berate themselves. I failed again. And it's not the diet. Dieting actually makes food the enemy. It causes guilty feelings when one doesn't eat what they call diet-type foods. And in that respect, they don't have the confidence in themselves to be able to listen to what their inner signals are telling them. So that's a big problem with dieting.
I can hear that. Now, one would expect that a nutritionist, should he or she ever decide to write a book, it would probably be a book full of No, you can't have this, you can't have that. It'll probably be a very boring cookbook. Yet, as I look at your cookbook, and I happen to have the last one, Passover the Healthy Way, I see such recipes as Hawaiian chicken salad. I see things as savory sweet chicken, tomato veal cutlets, turkey goulash. That does not sound like what I would have expected from a traditional dietitian. That sounds like somebody who actually loves food and knows how to make it healthy.
Right, right. I think it's a very important message that I try to set forth in my books and in my everyday practice and in presentations that I give, is eating healthy doesn't have to be, number one, boring. It doesn't have to be tasteless. It doesn't have to be only grilled chicken, brown rice, and broccoli. There are many combination dishes that you can eat, and it's about experimenting. And, again, we'll talk about not labeling food as can't have. I think I heard you say that initially when you were introducing the books, and that's actually one of the core characteristics or features of intuitive eating, which is giving yourself the unconditional permission to eat when you're hungry and what food you desire. Similarly to what you said when you go to restaurants and you critique food, right? You're not labeling food as I can't have, because what happens when you label food as can't have? Well,
what's
going to
happen is that I wanted that much more.
Right. And at some point you give in, and you don't just give in and have a small enough portion to satisfy your needs, but you
No, you have to burn yourself to make up for lost time.
There you go. So that can't, word can't, is not supposed to be in the vocabulary. So giving yourself the unconditional permission to eat what you want is very important. And these recipes, by the way, yes, they're healthy, but they're tasty. I mean, I'll tell you, I'll prepare a meal for a Shabbos or a Yom Tov, always out of my cookbooks, always. And by the way, Passover the Healthy Way has recipes that can be used all year round.
Absolutely.
I keep it out all year round. I have a copy for Pesach, a copy for during the year. So, yes, delicious recipes. I don't cook differently because I'm having company come over for a meal. And so I have a funny story I can share with you.
Okay.
Probably soon after I came out with that first cookbook, Recipes to Remember, The Heart Healthy Can Be Delicious, I invited some friends for a Yontif meal. And my friend calls me up and she says, Bonnie, my son doesn't want to come, but I told him he has to. I said, why doesn't he want to come? Because he said all your food is going to be low fat and tasteless. I mean, she was a good enough friend with me that she was able to tell me
that. She could tell you.
Yeah. I said to her, come on, he's got to come. He'll see. I'm going to prove to him that it's going to be delicious. And they did come, and they left. And after Yontif, she calls, and she says, you won't believe it. On the way home, we're walking, and he says to me, there's no way that the food Bonnie cooked was healthy and low in fat. So she says, what? He said, because it was delicious. So there you go. Coming from, what was he at the time, a 10 or 12-year-old critic, I thought that was a pretty good compliment.
Very good. Well, let's face it. If food is going to taste bland, if food is going to be tasteless, how long is somebody going to be able to keep up eating just that type of food? At some point, they'll have to go to something else, and that's where they get in trouble.
Right.
Food
right.
has to be healthy in order for me to sustain whatever diet or whatever type of food I eat. I mean,
right.
I agree that sometimes we may eat something that doesn't taste as well, but that can also happen in a restaurant. For example, you can have something that, okay, maybe it was their day off, even if it's a top restaurant, and the food doesn't taste as good as you expected. So what? It happens. But that
right.
doesn't mean that because it didn't taste good, that's all I can eat. I can eat food that is healthy and, at the same time, very good tasting. For example, there was a time when Jewish traditional food was, you know, very schmaltzy, like gribenes, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Today, anybody eating gribenes, I mean, gribenes might be considered a triple bypass on a plate, for God's sake. It's made out of the fat of the chicken. Rendered
right.
fat. I mean, any cardiac expert will tell you that. How can you eat that? And yet, generations got away eating it, and maybe they didn't live as long as we live today, but they were not as obese either.
Right.
Because they exercised, they walked. Somehow we have become very, very comfortable in America. Everybody's got a car. I remember when I came to this country in 1962, I used to live a few blocks away from my high school, and of course I wouldn't drive. Till one day I decided, wait a minute, everybody else is driving, why shouldn't I?
Right.
So I did, instead of walking the four blocks.
Well,
one of the reasons why Americans are so unhealthy.
Right. I mean, exercise is imperative. It's not. It's what I call non-negotiable. And I tell people I work with that exercise, I mean, of course, unless there's a health reason or there's a contraindication to them doing exercise, one must exercise as part of their normal day. And you know what? I tell people, exercise in the morning. Don't wait till you come home from work, because you have the best of intentions that you're going to come home and you're going to get on that treadmill, that elliptical, do that DVD. And you know what? You're not going to most often because you're tired. Like, I will never exercise when I come home from work. I will never even fool myself to tell myself I will, because I won't. You've got to start the day with exercise. So I tell people, number one, you get up in the morning, you brush your teeth, you exercise. That should be in the same sentence. You wouldn't leave the house without brushing your teeth. You shouldn't leave the house without exercising. And that's really, you know, the way that we have to look at it. We have to schedule it into our day. And then everything else that you do or appointments that you make should be scheduled around it. Listen, my family knows that on Sunday morning, which is, you know, I mean, I exercise every day, but on Sunday it's family day. So really, you know, if we have somewhere to go and I'm exercising, it might delay the family from going somewhere. So clearly, if it's a time-sensitive thing, I get up early and I make sure to do my exercise. But if it's a normal Sunday, the family knows we're not getting out of the house before a certain time because mommy has her routine. And I think it's a very good role model for my children. And it's important to have it on your calendar and your planner that this is what you're doing. This is exercise. You know, I tell people, especially those with diabetes or other health conditions where exercise actually is part of the treatment plan, that exercise is your medication. Would you rather pop a pill to manage your diabetes, or would you rather do some exercise? Would you rather have to take another medication for your heart disease, or would you rather exercise? Well, we know that there are many side effects that are often negative that comes with medications. Why do we want that when we can exercise? You know, I had someone today in my office, and she was so honest, and she said, you know, Bonnie, why I didn't exercise? I said, why? She says, because I was lazy. And I thanked her for being honest. But now we have to not get lazy. And that's it. It's very important to motivate people. And while I'm on that topic, let me tell you that, you know, the exercise you choose can't be boring. It can't be a chore. So you know what? If you don't like going on a treadmill, so don't go on a treadmill. Who said the treadmill is the be-all, end-all with exercise, right? You need to do what you like. So even if that means you like to dance, go in your room, shut the door, and blast your favorite CD, and just dance for 30 minutes. That's fine, too. You don't need fancy equipment in order to exercise.
And you also should not do the same routine day after day after day. The routine, the exercise routine should vary.
That's 100% right. You need to do cardio. You need to do strength training to keep the muscles strong, build more muscle. And if you do the same exercise daily for 6 months, you will no longer get the benefit that you got in the beginning, because muscles have a memory.
And
you need to shake it up. Variety, and at least every 30 days, change the routine.
Right.
And it's a great way to release stress. For those of us who have no stress in our lives, right? Exercise is a great way to release that stress.
Is there such a thing in the 20th century as something who does not have stress in their lives?
I don't know. I said that a little sarcastically. But, you know, it's how we manage the stress. That's important, right?
Right. Now, let's talk about your cookbooks.
Yes.
Your first cookbook, Recipes to Remember. Want to describe it?
Yes, sure. This cookbook, I'll tell you it how it was born, okay? It came out of a lot of my clients would always ask, oh, do you have a recipe for this? Do you have a recipe for that? And I said, sure. And I print up, I had recipes, plenty of file folders of them, and I would give a recipe. And then I'd check in with them. So did you make the chicken dish or the fish dish or this or that? Oh, no, I don't know where I put the recipe, the sheet of paper. I said, you know what, enough of this. I'm binding it. I'm making a book. I put it in a book, and everybody was so thrilled, so thrilled. It's got, it's divided into sections. So we've got soups and appetizers and salads and dressings and dips and protein category and side dishes, plenty of kugels. And I have got a delicious recipe for pineapple kugel that my mother just loves. And every time she has company, she's making the pineapple kugel. It's a great book. It has suggestions for lowering the fat content of your meals, for heart healthy recipe substitutions in the index, some tips for seasoning your foods. Because listen, we also in this country use way too much salt, right? And we've got to cut back on our sodium intake. So there are plenty of herbs and spices that we can use to enhance the flavor and taste of our dishes, food labeling information and more. And, my subtitle of the book is Heart Healthy Can Be Delicious, because back when I was doing this book was when I was getting those comments where, oh, no, it's healthy, it's not going to be good, or, a client would tell me that, I didn't make those recipes for Yontif because my family wouldn't have eaten it if they knew it came from Bonnie, So I want people to understand that, no, it can be delicious, and here you go, prove it. The Pesach cookbook, Passover the Healthy Way, that was something that I wanted to do for the longest time, for years, because I would hear all the time from my clients, I gain weight over Pesach, it's crazy, I can never get out of the kitchen, I'm always cooking, 8 days of cooking and baking and so much oil and so much fat in the foods, and there's no variety, it's the same meat and potatoes every year. And I was like, this doesn't have to be. There are so many delicious recipes that you can do for Pesach, and you can make them healthier just with a few easy swaps. And the recipe is healthier. Listen, it still comes down to how much you eat. Let's not fool ourselves, right?
Of course.
Recipe could be healthy. But if you eat more than a serving's worth, then that's a problem. And that's where the behavioral approach comes in. Because, when we talk about dieting or losing weight's not about lack of knowledge, okay? It's really about a behavioral issue. And I really should say losing weight and keeping it off is usually not about a knowledge issue. It's about a behavioral issue. So many people come into my practice and they tell me, I could write the book. I know what to do. I just can't do it. I don't do it. I don't know why I don't do it, but I know what to do. So that's why I was hoping with these books that people could see they can eat healthy and still maintain their weight or lose weight and live healthy.
Do you have any interesting anecdotes in conjunction with your work?
I'm sorry, please repeat that.
Do you have any interesting story about your work?
About what I do? Sure. I mean, I work now, besides working with people who are trying to lose weight and helping them with intuitive eating, some people aren't ready for the intuitive eating approach and they will want a typical meal plan, but I call it a blueprint of eating as a guide. We don't ever set rules. There are no food rules, okay? That's where people get into trouble. And they will come in and for weight loss, but I also have people coming in for weight gain, believe it or not, whether they've lost weight because of a health problem or what have you. And recently I've been working with a male client, a lovely gentleman, and he's coming to me to gain weight. He has a rare disorder and his doctors really didn't think he would be able to ever regain this weight. And he came to see me. And I saw him yesterday, so it reminds me of this story, that he got on the scale, and he's been gaining weight over the last 2 months, which is nice, but he really looked great yesterday. And I said to him, gee, you really look great, so much better than when I first met you. And it came out a little funny, and he says to me, well, thanks, I really must have looked horrible when I first met you. I didn't mean that. I really didn't mean it. But, yeah, you look great. Weight gain really suits him fine, you know. So we laugh a lot in the office. We don't just we're not just all serious. I think humor is really important. I deal with a lot of serious issues, whether they're health issues, emotional issues, the reasons why, you know, people eat and in response to things that are going on in their life. And so we try to keep it happy. But, you know, people really, they learn. Now, I truly try not to encourage people to, I encourage people not to weigh themselves at home because, you know, the scale could really be the enemy. And people rule by the number on the scale. And so a funny thing is, you know, some clients
and
really
let's face
want...
it, most of the home scales are not 100% accurate anyway.
They're not accurate, and, you know, you'll get on the scale and you go, I don't understand why I gained a quarter pound. I did everything I was supposed to. Or they use the horrible word, I was good, you know. We don't label ourselves. So, no, we don't want to say good. We don't want to say bad. But, you know, I said, well, we'll weigh once a week when you come in here. And sometimes people don't even look at the scale. I just keep my eye on it and make sure it's going in the right direction. I have a client who lost 95 pounds without looking at the scale the entire time because she wanted to finally stop worrying about the scale. But the funny thing is that sometimes when they do want to look at the scale, like the first time they're in, I have to take a height and a weight to do some assessment and calculations. And
right.
They're always so nervous to get on the scale. And I said, don't worry about the number. Whatever it is, you're going to lose weight, it's fine. I say, the height maybe you should worry about. That I can't help you with. Because sometimes they tell me how tall they are, and when I measure their height, they're actually a couple of inches shorter than they told me. So besides telling people to stand up straight and work on their posture, I really can't help them grow taller. Unless, of course, it's children that I work with, and in that case, better nutrition helps them grow. So
tell us, how do we get your books? How do people get a hold of you?
Okay.
Where can they find you?
My office is located in West Hempstead, Long Island, in New York. I also do consultations via the telephone and Skype, and I have a website, www.brghealth.com. Again, brghealth.com. My two cookbooks are available on that website as well, and I have a blog that you could subscribe to free and a newsletter. I post on the blog 2 to 3 times per week. Free recipes are always posted onto my website. So it's a website that you should definitely keep as your favorite and check back often. You could subscribe to a feed, so every time I post, it automatically comes to your inbox. And I also provide presentations and seminars. So if your community is interested in having me come and speak on a variety of topics, you can check out my website, again, brghealth.com. I've got 8 presentations ready to go, such as your GPS to heart healthy eating and get on board the whole grain train, just to kind of tell you about 2 of them, but there's plenty of them there. And I'd love to present to your group.
Okay. Do you have a phone number that people can call you, or is all that on your website?
It's on the website, but if you have a pen handy, my phone number is 516-486-4569. I'll repeat that. It's 516-486-4569. You can email me at Bonnie, B-O-N-N-I-E, at brghealth.com, brghealth, H-E-A-L-T-H.com, and I respond very quickly to my emails. So anything you'd like, any information, by all means, please feel free to contact me about any of my services. I do, by the way, I'm a certified diabetes educator. I didn't mention that I have my master's degree in clinical nutrition, and I am certified in diabetes education. Work extensively with people who have diabetes and prediabetes. And I also work with those who have gastrointestinal disorders, such as irritable bowel syndrome. The newest treatment out there now is called a low FODMAPs diet. There are specific carbohydrates that are not digested well, and people who have irritable bowel syndrome would do well by trying this latest treatment that is actually out of Australia, and I've had a lot of great success with my patients on it. And so you can read more about that on my website, again, brghealth.com.
Very good. And what I got the most out of this conversation with you is that, let's face it, you proved to me what I always suspected, that proper nutrition does not need to be boring. On the contrary, it can be very, very delicious while being healthy. The two concepts are not mutually exclusive.
That's correct.
And you have just proven it.
Thank you.
You have been an excellent guest. We'd love to have you again.
My pleasure.
And
thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. Thank you very, very much. And tune us in again next week, ladies and gentlemen. Same place, blacktalkradio.com/kosherscene. Thank you very much, one and all. Thank you and good night, Bunny.
Thank you and good night. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.